who are under the sound of my voice on today, Lord. I ask that something be said, Lord Jesus, to convince them, Lord. Something be said, Lord Jesus, to change their mind. That something be said, oh God, Lord. Let them see things a little differently, Lord Jesus. Let them know you in another way, Lord Jesus. To know you in a better way, Lord. To know you in all your might. To know you in all your power. To know you in all your glory, Lord. And I'm just thankful for that right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we just praise your name for that, Lord. And we give your name all the honor, all the praise, the glory and the power, Lord, for belongs to you. Lord, I ask that you touch those, Lord, you who don't have jobs, Lord, you those who may be struggling to feed their family, Lord, for you send your word that you never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread, Lord. Yet we will be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who strengthens us, oh God. Lord, I ask that they be challenged on today by the word on today, Lord Jesus, that the word find them, Lord Jesus, where they are, Lord Jesus, that they, Lord Jesus, learn more, Lord Jesus, and be more, Lord Jesus, and aspire to be more, oh God, Lord. And I thank you for that right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord. And we love you all, our heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And know that you're God and you're God alone. And besides you, there is no other. As we go into this praise and worship time on this morning, ask that you help us, Lord Jesus. We go forth, Lord Jesus, in strength, in the powerful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we ask, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but how many of you know God been good to you this week? And I just want to say, you know what? He did it all. And I ask that you come in this morning, that you celebrate with me this morning, that we go into a little praise and worship this morning, a little John P. Key, to say that what? He did it all. I'm thankful this morning. See? Are you thankful? Oh, for me. He did it all. Oh, for me. God's response to thank you. Mm-hmm. He did it all. For me,
you did it all back on Calvary. That's why I believe in divine destiny. God responded once again and gave me all my dreams. He did it all. He did it all. He did it all.
He did it all. When others cry and complain,
I still have my dance.
God's response to thank you.
There shall never be another God before me.
There shall never be another God before me.
Come on, praise him with me this morning.
Yes, you did it all.
Come on, you should be up out of the bed by now. You should be on your feet right now, just thanking him for what he's done for you. That someone that wanted to be here today that's no longer here today. There was somebody who was here on last week that's not here with us this time. But you know what? He did it all. Thank you, Lord, for all you done for me. You know, he said, praise him on the loud sounds and cymbals. It doesn't matter if it sounds good to anybody else or not, but it sounds good to him because it's him that you're praising. You're not worried about your left to your left or to your right, but right now you should be on your feet. Whether you're in your bedroom, whether you're in the bathroom, whether you're in the backyard or the outhouse, or you're sitting in the kitchen, I want you to throw your hands up right now and give him praise. Come on. Come on, church.
Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. Thank you, Lord.
And see, why you're thanking him, it's just not that you thank him, but you also, you come to him in worship. You know, God loves worship. He loves it when we worship him. When we love it, when we tell him how good he's been to us. And I don't know what you, I only came here to worship today. I didn't come here for form or fashion. You know, I could have done this in my home by myself, but, you know, I just come into this place to say, you know what he said, but there's two or three that are gathered in my midst, there I am. It doesn't matter that you're remote. It doesn't matter that you're not here physically with me, but we're tied in spirit. Oh, come on, somebody. Right now, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You can throw your hands up wherever you are. You ain't got to worry about being embarrassed. You ain't got to worry about looking a certain way. But right now, I don't care if you, you know, get snotty nose, whatever. Whatever you got to do to get into the presence of God. Yes, Lord Jesus. See, if it wasn't for the hardness of our hearts, see, he wouldn't have to do this. But we have to till this up just to say, Lord, I love you. Lord, you're so lovely. Lord, you're so worthy. You're wonderful to me. Say, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. How many know he's your God? Are you all together lovely? All together worthy? All together wonderful to me. Say, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Acknowledge him this morning, who he is. All together love me. All together worthy. How many know he's worthy?
All together wonderful to me.
He's been good to me, y'all. He's been good to me, y'all. He's been good. Yeah, I'm on Sunday. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you.
All together worthy, all together wonderful to me.
See, this is the part you got to remember right here.
My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself to you.
See, I don't belong to myself, y'all. See, my life belongs to somebody else.
And you I belong. I give myself.
How many of you actually give yourself over to him to say,
my life is not my own. And you I belong. I give myself.
I give myself to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. To you I belong. I give myself to you. So they tell me the online church, you got 10 or 20 minutes to engage them because what, they're clicking on somebody else's page. And if that's what you do, that's fine. But you hear the ministry right here, Safe House Church, where we believe in what? Discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. We're going to teach you. Then we're going to empower you to go teach others and be disciples of others. And then what? We're going to hold you accountable. We all need accountability in this life. And this is the formula that God has given us that to go forth in ministry. As we go in this morning, I don't know about you, but so many different things are going on right now. So many people find themselves in so many different places, but I've come to the point in life that I realized I can't complain. There's nothing to complain about. Will you come on with me this morning, worship, and tell the guy, you know what, Lord, I can't complain. Because it can be so much worse, that it can be so many other things going on. Come on, sing it for me, Donald Lawrence. I'm blessed, y'all. Come on, worship with me. I have nothing to complain about, y'all. When I think of the state of the whole world right now, innocent victims, boys and girls, all attacked, and ain't nobody but the enemy. And suddenly my problems ain't as bad as they seem. Sing it with me. I can't complain. In Jesus' name, sunshine and rain. I can't complain. Devastation all over the land. Counterattacks by the enemy's hand. Lord, I thank you for mercy. And I praise your name for covering me. Hallelujah. Where does she go on? It's in pain. Why can I complain? Stand and lift your hands this morning. You need to encourage you to go on today, y'all. It's going to be all right. We may going to make it through this. How many know, can you, God's been good to you. You still got a roof over your head. You still got food on your table. You still got your health and your strength. Y'all, we have nothing to complain about. Nothing. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. Some people in third world countries, you sitting in the luxury of your home watching me on the internet. You have nothing to complain about. I just thank God, Lord, I'm blessed. In Jesus' name. Sunshine and rain. Shouting, kind of shouting. I made it through my storm. You're going to make it through this. Be encouraged, my brothers. Be encouraged, my sisters. We're going to make it through this. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. He said what? Don't murmur through this time period, but give his name praise. Me and my house, we have decided that we're going to praise him. 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 And I encourage you to do the same. We're not going to complain during this season. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you know that God has been good to you? How many of you know God has been good to you? All I'm coming here today is what? Just to worship with you, that I'm sharing my prayer time with you. I'm sharing my teaching and my reading time with you on this morning. Welcome to the Safe House Church, the online version. I'm just so grateful to the members of the Safe House Church who support me and the endeavors that I believe God is leading us to do, that we work on three principles: discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. Discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. Let me readjust my mic real quick here for setting. I have this one and all microphone that'll do several different things here. Oh, there we go. So now you probably can hear me a little clearer on this side, and I can bring my volume up a little bit. But God has just been good to us, and I'm just so grateful this morning, like I said, to the Safe House Church First Lady, Felicia Ely. I'm just praising God for her. I'm so grateful. Last week she celebrated a birthday, and God's just been so good to us and our families, you know, even though we've been quarantined like everybody else, but God is still good. And we have to acknowledge that he's good. And, you know, how you go through this season is going to determine how you come out. How you go through this season is going to determine how you're going to go out. You know, whether you're going to complain and murmur and just always have something to say. But God has a word for that. And I'm going to talk about that today. And, you know, my subject today is going to be I filed a complaint. I filed a complaint. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Again, greetings to all the members of the Safe House Church, those who are joining us online, whether this is your first time, we're glad to have you. When we get the opportunity to get back face to face, if you're in the Triad area, we're located at 3113 Cedar Park Road in the beautiful city of Greensboro, where I am Greensboro's favorite pastor. Amen. We decree and declare that right now in the name of Jesus, where lives are being transformed, lives are being changed. And we know we just don't talk about it, but we walk by faith and not by sight. The Safe House is a safe place for you and your family. And I'm just so grateful that you've chosen to be with us here on this morning. Those who are on social media, on the various platforms, I ask that you go out and you hit the share button. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. God said in the word, Jesus said, if you be ashamed of me, then what? I will be ashamed of you. So I ask that you go out and you hit the share button, that someone else may get this message of hope, that someone may get this message of life, that someone else may get this message of sustainment. Amen. On this morning. So I'm just so grateful. God has been good to the Safe House Church, and we're just so grateful. And I have big news, you all, to the members of the Safe House Church. The first baby of the Safe House has been born. Hallelujah. Sister Paris and Brother John had that beautiful baby last night. Sister Noah is our first new member of the Safe House Church. I'm going to show you a picture real quick. He gave me permission to share this. I mean, come on, look at that baby. Almost make me want another one. Almost. But I'm just so grateful to them. They're such faithful members that God sent them to us. Brother John came in and got saved under our ministry, and God has just been blessing them. And Sister Paris got pregnant, and, you know, we went through that. You know, I remember they first told us, and we were just so excited for them. And God, I mean, you know, I know he's overwhelmed right now, and we need to pray that you all continue to pray for them, pray for their family, our new family, amen. If you ain't going to help them, then, you know, I need you to shut your mouth, amen, because, you know, I take care of my people, those that God has entrusted us with, and we're just so grateful to see Sister, I think it's Nova, if I remember, Nova Grace, at some point be joining our congregation in the flesh, amen. So those are the Safe House, that's your opportunity. Brother John sent me this picture on last night. So from my understanding, mother and baby are doing just fine. And I'm just so grateful to God for blessing us with such a beautiful, beautiful couple that's been a blessing to us here at the Safe House Church. You know, sometimes you just got to take time out to do those things. Amen. And I'm just so grateful that God has blessed them with that beautiful baby girl. So as we go back and I transition back here, I want to go into the Word of God on today. So on today, want to talk with you from the book of Numbers. You know, God's just had me in Numbers the last couple of weeks and months, it seemed like, here in Numbers. Why? Because it's the children of Israel. And the children of Israel, they some unique characters. Amen. And, you know, as we go forward, I see more and more of us in the children of Israel, how the children of Israel conducted themselves. You know, if you go back and you read the story, what you find is that the children of Israel got there because what? They were being saved. If you go back and you notice in the story, what happens is, you know, Joseph, you know, the story of Joseph, you have Joseph who was end up being basically like the vice president of Egypt. You know, he was only speaking. He only had to answer towards Pharaoh. And since he only answered to Pharaoh, then you find him at a place in time that that he's in charge of the gross, basically the gross domestic product. And he's there to make sure that they make it through that time period that they were going through of famine. Amen. And then, so what happens is Joseph, you know, brings his family there. You know, I think they say it was 70 of them that came with his brothers, and they brought their families. And what happened over time, they continued to be fruitful and they multiplied. They multiplied to a point that they had became, you know, so large that which was once the minority has now become the majority. Now, what happens when you have a situation like that? People tend to get scared. Those who are in power, who used to having power and used to doing what they wanted to do, when they wanted to do it and how they wanted to do it, now they are afraid that those whom they may have oppressed, those that they may have put under their feet, those whom they may have mistreated, they are at a point now that they're scared that, hey, they might start to treat me like I treated them. Oh, come on, somebody. That they worried about, look, what if they start to treat me the way that I treated them all these years? What if they started to do the things to me that I did to them? What if they start to impress me? So what you find here, then, that someone starts to put that bug in Pharaoh's ear, and then Pharaoh gets to the point now, he starts putting them in slavery and these things. Then God sends in Moses, and then Moses comes in, and Moses, what, gets the people out of the land. And now what are they doing? They're traveling to the promised land, the land that was promised to them, this place of promise. Remember, they found themselves where? They were under persecution. They were being ridiculed. They were being oppressed. They were being beaten. They were being killed. All these things under slavery. Now, one of the important things about slavery is, remember, you don't own yourself. And when you don't own yourself or own your being, then that means that you are being taken care of by somebody else. And that's an important thing to remember as we go into this message on today, is that what? Somebody else is always taking care of you. Somebody else always has that rule over you. Somebody else is putting all these things in place for you. They have responsibility for you. So that's part of the thing about being what? That's being a slave, is that someone else is taking the responsibility for you. All you do is do what you're told. You don't have to worry about how you're going to eat. You don't worry about where you're going to sleep. Why? Because somebody else is in charge of your being. Amen. So this is the background of where we find the children of Israel. So now they get to a point, they have been taken out of there, and now God is bringing them through the land, and they're going through some things, and they find themselves here, and they find themselves in a place that they start to complain. Oh, come on, somebody. I know we've been in a place and times, and, you know, and I've been guilty of it. I complain. I probably complain more than some, but sometimes God has to get you and pull you by your coat and say, what are you complaining about? That things could be far worse. We could be in a place where, you know, we don't have anything. You could be in a place that you eating out of garbage cans. You could be in a place where you don't have a roof over your head. You could be in a place where you don't even have food banks to go to. You could be in a place where your body's racking with pain and cancer and all these other kind of diseases and the coronavirus. And for those of us, the most that we do, this is just a minor inconvenience for some of us. Yes, I don't want to dip into my savings, but I should be grateful that I have a savings to even dig into. Oh, come on, somebody. No, I don't want to do this, but, you know, I don't want to eat this can of beans, but we should be grateful that we even have a can of beans to even eat. And in many cases, brothers and sisters that in this country, even as being people of color, even African Americans, we're blessed far beyond measure. We're blessed. If you have the opportunity to go to countries outside of the United States, you will find that to be very, very much true. That here, even our poorest people sometimes live like kings. Oh, come on. You know, I'm not speaking lies to you. Let me get a sip of this water while I'm saying that. Excuse me. Even our poorest people live better than some of the other people in some of these other countries. And this is something that we must, you know, be aware of. This is something that we should think about. This is something that we should look at. Amen. So as we go into our scripture today, I want to start in the book of Numbers. I'm going to ask you one more time, those out there, share this broadcast. If you're just coming in, this is the Safe House Church of Greensboro, North Carolina, where we believe in three pillars of our faith: is discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. Discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. For God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Amen. So we pull up our scripture here. Okay, I got to have thing going on here. Let me see what's going on here. Sometimes this thing does what it wants to do. Amen. But nonetheless, God is good and he's worthy to be praised. So I think, okay, there we go. I was trying to pull up a bigger screen here for you. Let me see if I can get that for you. Is that better? Amen, amen, amen. Hopefully that's better for those out there who are looking above. So let me see if I can get my notes to come back up here. All right, here we go. All right, now come on, don't act up on me, computer. All right, okay, here we go. So you all getting one screen, I got another one here. All right, and it says this, Numbers 11 and 1. We're starting Numbers 11 and 1, and it says this. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. And at anger, oh, I'm getting an echo. Hold on one second. Sorry about that, y'all. Okay, that's better. The Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And I am still getting an echo from somewhere. Where am I getting this echo from? Excuse me one second. I want to make sure. Keep getting an echo for some reason. Okay. That should be good now. And Lord. Oh, my sound over here. Give me one second to fix this. I don't know what is going on with this thing. It's going to keep coming on. But, all right. I just want to get you all an echo. I'm trying to fix that as much as possible. Hopefully it's going to act right. And it says this, and the Lord heard it. This is about to be frustrating. okay, there we go. Is that better? That should be it. Hold, give me one second. I got a mic all over here. I don't know how it came on. Give me. I apologize, you all. This is the thing when you're online. Sometimes you have these little hiccups, and but it's all good. Well, the microphone is off, so I don't get why I'm getting this echo. But nonetheless, okay, it is what it is. We'll go forward. All right, so here we go. So it says this. Maybe it's this window. We're just going to close this all together. All right. No? I'm still getting this echo. Is that better? I don't want to hurt anybody's ears with this echo, but anyway. Oh, you know what? I just figured out what it was. I'm sorry. I had another mic in. All right, so here we go. So here we Numbers 11 and 1, it says this. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the utmost parts of the camp. Okay. And the people cried unto Moses, and Moses prayed unto the Lord, and the fire was quenched. And then he goes on, he says, and he called the name of the place Taberah, because of the fire of the Lord burnt among them. So here we find that we read this first scripture here. What we find is that here that Moses, that the people of God started to complain. They were complaining about leaving Egypt, and they complained and they complained and they complained to the point that God actually brought a fire in, and it was starting to burn some of them up. And what did he do? Then Moses prayed that God would come in and quench the fire. Moses was always saving here these people of God. Moses was always saving them, because they always found themselves in a place where they were in trouble. They always found themselves in a place where they were doing something, and they found themselves doing things that they shouldn't be doing. You know, how many of us sometimes just find ourselves in a place, sometimes we just complain. Sometimes it's easy to complain because, you know, of things that come to us and we don't understand, and we don't really get why we are where we are. But I'm going to read a little bit further, because there's some more things that go on here. And it says this in verse 11 and 4, and it says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. They fell lusting. Lusting is what? Going after. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? So what you have to remember here is what they got every morning. They got this stuff called manna. And manna will what? Fall from the sky or every day. And now they was able to collect this. But now look at what they're doing. It says, we remember the fish we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. So here what they're doing is they're starting to say, look, maybe us being slaves were not that bad. See, sometimes we can get ourselves in such a place or such a point in time that we know we left bad situations. We know we left abusive relationships. We know that we found ourselves in place of turmoil, in places of trouble. But then we get to a point where we read a little brick road. We get to a point that we see a little adversity. And then we start to second guess God. We start to second guess to say, maybe Tommy wasn't so bad. Maybe that Judy wasn't so bad. Maybe that job wasn't so bad. Maybe that situation wasn't as bad as it was. Why? Because I did eat freely. But one of the things that I tried to preface with you with in the beginning was that, remember, if you are a slave, that you don't have to feed yourself. If you are a slave, that what? You are indebted to someone else. And therefore, it is upon them to what? Take care of you. Freedom isn't free. Let me say that again. That even though the root word of freedom is free, freedom is not free. Why? Because freedom comes with responsibility, not only personal responsibility, but responsibility for one's whole being, that you have to feed yourself and you have to clothe yourself and you have to make sure that what? These are all the responsibilities with freedom. You know, we often ask God and tell God, look, I want to be free. But when you are free, are you going to do the things that God asked of you to do? Why? So what? So that you can be supplied for. He said that, well, I never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging for bread, that they're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. So go on. He says what? But now our soul is dried away. Here they go. They're complaining again. Now they're starting to complain. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna. Here it is, nothing at all but this bread before our eyes. Not thinking that I am free of bondage. Not thinking that I'm free from Pharaoh's oppression. Not thinking that I'm free from being whipped. Not thinking I'm free from the harshness of Pharaoh. Not thinking that I'm free. That even in this part, they have to remind themselves to remember when they walked away. What did the Bible tell them that Moses told them to do? He said, go ask for the wealth of Egypt, and they were what? They would give it to you. Oh, come on, somebody. So the children of Israel find themselves to be quite rich. They are rich in gold. They're rich in silver. They have so much worldly belongings. They have way more than they ever had while they were in Egypt. And yet they're complaining about bread. You know, let me bring it to you in 2020. Some of us, even through this coronavirus time, no, we can't leave our house. But some of you have been financially blessed by even in this. They sent some of you checks for $1,200. Some of you got checks for $2,400. Some of you, if you got a whole lot of kids, you probably walked away $3,000 or $4,000 easily. You have the wealth of Egypt in your pockets. Yet what? The thing was this. Even with the wealth of Egypt that they walked away with, they found themselves in places that they couldn't even spend it. So what do? They complain about it. Think about it. You might have an extra $3,400 in your pocket right now. You might have an extra $2,100 in your pocket right now, but you can't even go anywhere to spend it. You can't go get your hair did. You can't go get a haircut. You can't go do this. You can't do that. And what do? We, even though we have these things, we find ourselves in what? A place of complaining because we can't do these things, not realizing that God is now providing what? Provision for when the storm is over. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all don't make me preach this thing this morning. That way, he's already providing provision because some of you needed that money to what? To pay a bill off that you were struggling with. Some of you needed that break from the student loan so that you can get caught up on something else that you needed to take care of. So this is where only a brief inconvenience for what God is setting you up for. Some of you have been waiting for promotion and there's people in front of you that won't retire, but God is what? Going to set it up. Oh, come here. That it's going to set up that when you get back to work, some things are going to change. That some people are going to finally go ahead and say, well, I'm taking it to the house. They're going to be some people who are going to go ahead and bow and say, well, you know, I'm done with this. That it's time for me to go home. There's some people that God has just removed. Oh, my. Come on, somebody. He said that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. And I believe that in this day and time that what we're going through right now is a wealth transfer. But what can we get through it and not complain? Can we get through it and not be bitter? Can we get through it and not kill each other? Can we get through it and what? Love our spouse. I know some of us, and I was complaining about it too. Lord, I just want to spend more time at home, Lord. I drive 2 hours to work, and Lord, I want to spend more time with my kids. And you know what God did? He gave me a paid vacation. Oh, come on, somebody. That now I've been here a month with my children, being able to bond with them and be able to speak with them and be able to put those things of God in them and showing them how to pray and showing them how to write and showing them how to read and all these things that I desire to do. The Bible said what? He would give you the desires of your heart. And if you trust him, that what? He would do these things for y'all. If y'all with me this morning, somebody say amen. Somebody type amen. Somebody raise their hand. Say amen right there. I'm going to feel it from wherever you are, because I need to know that you're getting what I'm telling you this morning. That what I filed a complaint with God, and you know what he told me? Denied. Oh, come on, somebody. That sometimes we find ourselves complaining about things that we shouldn't be complaining about when God has a plan. The Bible said that the steps of a good man are what? Are ordered by him. So if I'm following after him, then I'm following the steps that he has ordered for me. I'm following the way that he has ordered for me. And that means sometimes I have to be reproved a little bit. That means sometimes I have to be buffered a little bit, but I'm still walking around with the wealth of Egypt. Oh, come on. Numbers 11:11, and he says this. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I found favor in thy sight? And thou hast laid the burden of all his people upon me. So here what? And now you get to the point, now even the leader's complaining, y'all. Oh my goodness. Even the leader's complaining. Moses is saying, Lord, haven't you given me favor with you? Lord, haven't you given me favor with your people? Lord, why is this burden on me? Because what? When people are complaining, you know, I'm a supervisor at my job, and sometimes, you know, you get a complaint every now and then, but when the people just keep complaining, that thing gets worrisome. It gets to a point, you know, if the children are complaining, if the students are complaining, if the wife is complaining, if the husband's complaining, if the mother-in-law complaining, if the dog is complaining, it gets to a point, it becomes burdensome. And here it is, the leader here, you find that what Moses is saying, Lord, that these people are burdensome to me. Lord, I thought I had favor with you, Lord. Why am I being beat down with the burdens of these people? And they're complaining. Lord, we got them. You got them out of bondage and they complaining. Mm-hmm. You took them from being beaten and they still complaining. Mm-hmm. Lord, you gave them a little money in their pocket. They walked away with the wealth of Egypt and they still complaining. There's no peace satisfying these people. They're going to complain from the sun up to the sun down. So this is where Moses finds himself. And then the Bible says what? In verses 11 and 12, we go line by line and precept upon precept, because I want you to understand this is not Peter's gospel. This is the Bible, Blue Letter Bible, good website. I encourage you to go out there and get it, read it, study it. You don't have a Bible, you got one right now. So he goes on, he says this. He says, when shall I have our flesh to give all these people for weeping unto me, saying, give us flesh. They want that we may eat meat. So what are they doing? They're complaining about not having meat. Now think about it. God has given them what? Manna. The manna is there to sustain them. You know, in the day and time, what? Some of this thing we're going through, you all, some of this is just temporary. It's a temporary disconvenience. It's a temporary situation. It's a temporary situation. You know, I was thinking about even on last year this time, and I saw a video come up on my Facebook page that it was my son, and it was last year this time that my wife and I was living in my mother-in-law house. Not because we couldn't afford a house, but we sold our house, and we was waiting on this house to be built that I'm sharing with you out of right now. And it was a temporary inconvenience. Yes, it was a smaller house because it was a house not made for a family as many people, but it was a temporary inconvenience because what we had a goal in mind. That meant that we was going to save some money and we was going to pay off some debt. And no, because God knew what we was going through. He knew that this was coming. That if I was in the same financial state that I was in last year this time before we got ready to buy our home, then what? God knew that what I would not be able to handle this. So what did he do? He provided a way of escape. So what he did last year this time, he had me in a place that what? It was inconvenient. I was driving further to work. I was driving almost 2.5 hours to work. Mm-hmm. My wife was driving 1 hour to work herself. It was inconveniencing us. However, there was a plan that was in place. The plan was in place was what? We was taking these steps to pay off some debt, to pay off this and to pay off that, and to put ourselves in a better financial position so that when our home got completed, that we wouldn't walk in there with all these debts and things that we had of things that we've lost or things that we made bad decisions on, because you're going to make some bad decisions. It's part of life. Don't beat yourself up about it. You make a bad decision, you fix it, and you go on. Mm-hmm. So some of us, what we sit in that place that we just waddle in our bad decisions. We fix it and we go on. So then we find ourselves in a place that we pay off all this debt. And now here we go, been in the house since December. And now we have coronavirus that we're dealing with. People are furloughed and people can't go to work and this and what. Now we're in a better position than we ever been. This is where the children of Israel are. I just share my own testimony that what? So sometimes that what? If we overcome by the power of our testimony, the Bible says, Lord, I can be transparent with you. I can tell you about my business because only me can be mad with me. Mm-hmm. And maybe my wife, but she understands, she gets it. So I'm just sharing my testimony to help somebody else. So now, financially, we're in a better position. This is what he's doing with them. He's trying to put them in a better position. So he's feeding them manna. Why? So they won't be out there catching diabetes, sugar, as some of us call it. So they won't be out there arteries all clogged up because they're eating junk food all day. This is basically, he's giving them this manna, which is good for them. But what are they doing? They're complaining, we want meat. We want meat. We want meat. And you know what? If you complain to God long enough, if you ask God for something long enough, do you not know that God can get to a point that he'll just let you have things that you want? See, some of us, and then we think it's a blessing. See, the blessing, you know, I heard people talking about all the time, ooh, God bless me with this new car. You know what the blessing is? The blessing is when you have the title to that new car. Oh, come on, somebody. Are you with me? The blessing is when this car is paid for. The blessing is when it's completely paid for and you walk around with what they call a pink slip. See, the blessing ain't that I got to make a payment every single month because it's not complete yet. But the blessing is when it's done, when the situation is complete. So during this time, what are they doing? They are complaining. They're complaining about not having meat. So they asked him, so Moses gets to him and say, Lord, it's too many people. This is too heavy for me to carry. I can't give all these people meat. So Lord, what do you want me to do? And what does the Bible says he do? He says this. I'm going to skip down to verse 18, 11, 18. He says, and he says, say unto thou people. So this is after Moses has consulted with God. We always consult with God. Because what? The Bible said for us not to lean into our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. And he should what? Direct our paths. He says this. And he says, say unto thou people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Interesting. And ye shall eat flesh. So God gives them exactly what they've been begging for. You are, I'm here to tell you, you beg for it long enough. God is, he's able to give it to you. You keep asking for that sorry guy. And you know what? He step up and he give it to you. And then when he beating your head in, or when he out there causing all hell, or he ain't faithful, or when she ain't faithful, or when she won't listen, and she spending all the money, or when the children go ahead and they do, we ask for a lot of this stuff ourselves. It's we that bring this on ourselves. And we can't blame God for it. Because what? We begged, and he gave you exactly what you kept asking for. Sometimes, that's why we got to get to the point, you all. Sometimes we got to say, Lord, I don't know what I should pray for. I don't know what I should ask for. But Lord, bless me the way that you desire me. Lord, you give me the desires of my heart. So the things that I'm desiring are the things that you have for me to have. Because the Bible says it like this. And I remember, you know, a dear deacon in our church used to say, he said, Brother Ely, the blessings of God come without sorrow. I mean, the blessings of God make it rich and come without sorrow. That was Deacon John Kearney. Those who know him, y'all know what I'm talking about. He said, the blessings of God make it rich and addeth not sorrow. Meaning that what? They come as a blessing and they don't make you wish you never seen it. See, some of us been in some things, we got ourselves in some things, and we complain about it when we did it to ourselves. So what happened is, he said, wait, you shall eat meat. This is what he said. Matter of fact, this is what you're going to do. He said, you shall not eat meat one day, not 2 days, not five. He said, neither 10 days, nor 20, but an even whole month. Now, God, now you got to a point, you done tee God off. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be in the hands of an angry God. The Bible said what? God's anger was kindled against them. So what did he do? He said, you're going to eat meat for a whole month. And he said, you're going to eat so much of it until it come out of your nostrils. Can you imagine 1 second? Take this as a literal interpretation. That you ate so much meat that it's coming out of your nostrils. I've been one time, and I've been guilty of being gluttonous. You know, I ain't been no small guy. And we have this place up here called LeBlanc Restaurant. And all they do is just serve you meat by the pound. And they come around and, you know, they shave the meat off. And you get some more. You get some more. And I remember that time I ate so much meat, I don't think, boy, I think I might have been probably too TMI right here, too much information. I might have been constipated for, see, like a week. So can you only imagine eating so much meat that it's coming out of that nostril? He said what? And it would be loathsome to you. It's going to make you miserable. Do you not know you can complain so much to God that until the point that he gives you what it is that you ask and now it can make you miserable? He said, and because you have despised the Lord, not that I don't know what's good for you, not that I don't have your best interest in heart, not that I'm not thinking about you, but what does he say? But you despised him. So which is among you, and you have wept before him. You went before him crying and begging, Lord, I want it, I want it, I want it. Fine, here you go. Which come forth out of Egypt. And then Moses said, the people among them, I am 600,000 footmen. And he said, I will give them flesh, and they may eat a whole month. So the very thing that they were asking for, He gave it to them. He gave it to them. And they ate it for what? A whole month. Until it what? It came out of their nostrils. It came to a point that it made them sick. It came to a point that they could not even stand to continue to eat that stuff. They cannot stand to continue to go in there. What point are you making today? You know, some of us, we file complaints with God. We file complaints with God all the time. Lord, we complain about the water's not cold enough. I mean, we complain about that this person's ice is a little cooler than my ice. We complain about, Lord, this person seems like they're getting ahead and they got this and I don't have that. And we find ourselves in a place of complaining. And right now we have people complaining that, you know, that they can't, you know, well, I can't go to work. And then, you know, but they were complaining when they were having to go to work every day. Mm-hmm. They're complaining, you know, that, well, you know, I don't want to be sick and you're not doing enough. And then they complain when you are doing enough. It's like you can't please them. And what I find is there's an interesting parallel between us and the children of Israel here. There's an interesting parallel that we find ourselves much like the children of Israel. We find ourselves here, but that we complain to the point where that it displeases God. Let's be careful, number one, that we are not displeasing God in our complaints. And when do we fall into complaining? We get to the point that we complain, watch this, when we're in lust. It's your lust. The Bible tells us what? It's the lust of your eyes that do what? That leads you to sin. Mm-hmm. It's the lust of your eyes. Let me give you an example. I can give you an example from a man's point of view. He's looking at a woman. Nice woman. No, she has all the right shape. She appeals to his eye. No more than a 3-second look. 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. As we used to say in college, we had something amongst our Christian group there, amongst you know, my dear friends Blair and Lionel Branch. We used to say, if you watch more than, and Lionel used to always tell, he said, if you look more than 3 seconds, you're less. So that was our rule. We had the 3-second look. If you're looking at it more than 3 seconds, you're less. And so the Bible said we're driven away by our own lust. So as you continue to look at that thing and you continue to sit there past that time, now you start to what? You start to conjure up things of, how can I get this? How can this be a part of my collection or part of what my being? So what then this lust, what leads us to start to make bad decisions? Why? Because they're not godly decisions, because what? You're lusting after it. So what can we lust after? We can lust after men. We can lust after women. We can lust after other people's things. We can lust after position. We can lust after power. We can lust. The list just goes on. Sex, all these things, right? Money, positioning, glory, fame, mm-hmm. All these things, and what they lead you down a road towards sin. Why? Because when you don't have them, what you do is you start to do things that will put you in position to have them. And those things sometimes are not things of God. Those are not things that he would have you to do. Those are things that he would, places that he would not have you to go. So what? They complain about this. Then they what? They complain about the manner. We complain about where God has us in this season. For some of us, we act like this is a permanent situation. No, I might not like my job. Or, Lord, I feel like, you know, I really deserve a promotion. The Bible says like this, that promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the north or the south, but promotion comes from God. He'll promote you when you're ready to be promoted. Some of us are not ready to be promoted because what? We still find ourselves in a place of complaining. The children of Israel complained so much that what did God tell them? He tells them later on that what? They were not going to the promised land. See, that thing that God has promised you, do you not know that you can get at a point that you complain so much about it that then he ends up taking away your destiny? Oh, come on, somebody. You don't want to find yourself in that place, brothers and sisters, that you're at a point that God has now removed himself from you because of your complaining, that you are in a place that he removed what he had set for you because you thought you knew a way that was better because of your complaining. This is what happened. This is in your Bible. This is what happened to the children of Israel. They complain. And what does he do? He said, okay, you're not going to go into the land. So therefore, this is why they circled around for 40 years. He had to wait 40 years for all the complainers to die. So some of you are wondering, Lord, why haven't I got into my season? Because I complain about it. Here I am. I'm guilty. I'm telling you all, I can talk about me. I'm guilty. I complain about it. Lord, why haven't I got that job yet? Lord, why haven't I got this yet? Lord, why haven't I gone there yet? Because I'm complaining. Instead of just putting my head down, doing the work, and trusting that God is going to raise me up in due season. He said, him that humbles himself shall be exalted. Oh, come on, somebody. That what we have to humble ourselves under the hand of God and trust him and realize and come to the point, Lord, if you don't ever do it, I know that you were able. If you don't ever do it for me, that I know that you could. If they don't ever get there, I know that you can. So Moses then goes on, and then what? Now it gets to a point that sometimes we complain so much that we start to afflict our leaders, our pastors. We wonder why some of the pastors are, you know, getting to the point that they're just giving up. Because now what? Satan attacks them too. The Bible, look, remember he tells Peter this. He said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. Sift meaning shake. He wants to shake the hell out of you. Oh, come on, somebody. But he tells Peter that I have prayed for you, that in the day of testing, all you got is your faith. Your faith to know that what? Those things that I don't see, I'm believing, God, that you got my back. Those things that I don't know, I believe in, God, that you're going to hold. Lord, those things I can't account for, Lord, I'm believing that you're going to do that. He holds them down. It will come down. That what? He has them in this place and time that they go through this whole thing. And then they get to the point that they what? They continue to complain. And then he what? Passes judgment on them. 3 points, and then I'm going to get out of here, and my time is well spent, and I hope that you've gotten some out of this message today. Number one, why do we complain? As I was sitting there and I was in praying this week, I said, Lord, why do we complain? Complain is mean simply what? Complain meaning that, or a complaint is that it's simply my displeasure with a situation, me voicing my displeasure with the situation. We complain because what? We believe that change will be favorable. Come on, somebody. We complain. I think about it like this. When I complain, the reason I complain is that I'm hoping it's going to change and change something in the way that I believe it should happen. But brothers and sisters, one thing that we sometimes do not often consider is, what if the change gives you something that you didn't want? Let that sink in for a second. I got time. What if the change that you was asking for, that you got change, but you didn't get what you wanted? You complained about that job, but now you don't have a job. You complained about that spouse, now you don't have a spouse. You complained about those children, now you don't have those children. You complained about that house, now you don't have a house. Sometimes complaining, because we always think about it from a selfish point of view. We always think about it from our point of view, that I'm going to complain and it's going to work the way that I want it. It's going to work in my favor. But complaining doesn't mean necessarily it's going to work in your favor. It can be a 50-50 situation. It can be a product of a chance. And we find here the children of Israel, they complain, and what happens? They get what they want, but get so much of it that they can't handle it. Then what? They continue to complain about that to the point that what? God just removes himself from them after their complaining. So point one I want you to walk away with today, that complaints don't always give you the change that you expected. You know, I was complaining about not spending enough time at home. Well, now I've been home 6 weeks now, and I'm going to be home all summer. And it looks like right now, by the virtue of the work I'm doing right now, we're going to be home in the fall too. And I'm talking about colleges. Those who know me know I'm a college professor. So now I'm going to be home almost a whole year. I was complaining about being home. But now I'm about to be home a whole year. Then what? I'm probably starting to, you know, and this is why I believe God is not only just giving me this message for you, but y'all, I'm preaching to me. So I won't be complaining the whole time I'm home now. Because I asked for this. And God gave it to me. And, you know, he said, wait, he's come that we might have life, and then we might have life more abundantly. I got more than abundance of it now. I got what I asked for. And many of you, the truth be told, you got what you asked for too. We complained about it. And now here we are. That necessarily means it's a bad thing. But I'm just saying, we complain. Second thing, why do we complain? Number two, I want you to be able to write down. Why do we complain? We complain because we believe that by complaining, it's going to transfer frustration. Woo! What is frustration? I think T.D. Jakes put it this way. He said, frustration is unmet expectation. Frustration is unmet expectation. And I think about it when he said that, I was like, man, I think he's spot on with that. I find myself in complaint when I expected something to happen that didn't happen. When I wanted something to go the way I wanted it to go. Again, coming from what? A selfish point of view. See, if the truth be told, we'll find that complaining, really, the root of complaining is selfishness. Oh, come on. Woo, that was a truth bomb. Thank you, Jesus. That it comes from selfishness. Think about every time you found yourself in complaint. Think about every time you was complaining. What were you complaining? It was something that didn't go the way that you desired. Therefore, you found yourself frustrated. And now that you're frustrated, then you do what? You open your mouth and you're hoping that by opening your mouth, it's going to change something. And oftentimes what it do, it doesn't change it. It makes it worse. Oh, yeah, it does change it, but it makes it not in the way that we was hoping the change to occur. It makes it in the way that we wouldn't expect it. It goes in the way that was contrary to what we wanted it to be. So number two, it's we believe that complaining is going to be what a transfer of frustration. Now, by me complaining to my wife about a situation, what I'm hoping, and I can talk about me, is that she's going to feel my frustration. I'm hoping by complaining to a spouse or complaining to a worker that they're going to feel my frustration. So therefore, we often have that term to say, misery loves company? It does. I don't want to be upset by myself. So I want to make everybody else around me upset. I don't want to be miserable by myself. So I want to make everybody else miserable with me. I want you to feel this pain I'm feeling. And this is where we find ourselves, even as the entire country or world, that I want you to feel it. Why? Because if you feel it, it makes me feel better about me. You didn't know you was going to get a lesson on self. See, I know people don't preach like this no more. They don't teach it like this no more. But see, this is what's going to save you. The Bible said, save yourself. So if you want to be about yourself, you ought to at least want to be able to save yourself from this underworld generation, is what he tells us. And how we save ourselves is what? Find ourselves with walking in God's presence and not complaining. So then, last part, number three, that I believe God has given me this week for you. Number three, why do we find ourselves complaining? We're trying to invoke action. And what we find is sometimes the action may not be favorable towards us. It may not be favorable in our being. It may not be favorable in our situation. It may not be favorable where we find ourselves. So on today, I want to remind you, hey, I filed a complaint with God. And you know what he told me? Complaint was denied. I put a petition before God and he said, Peter, nope, you're not going there. Nope, you're not going to go there. And I had to get to the point and wait and realize that, no, Lord, I accept the answer. I may not like the answer. I might not like the direction. I might not like the short-term disability I'm going through. I might not like the short-term turmoil I'm going through. But the Bible puts it like this. It said that weeping may endure for a night, but that joy comes in the morning. And I know that this storm is going to be over soon. I know that joy is right around the corner soon. I know that prosperity is around the corner soon. I know that my situation is same, but I have to go through the nights. I have to go through the darkness. I have to endure the rain clouds. I have to endure this test. I have to endure where you have me at right now. I have some things that I need to learn. There's some things that I need to experience. There's some people I need to meet. There's some things I need to see. There's some information I need to know. There's some knowledge I need to gain. There's some people I need to show how to get to the next level. There's some people that we need to connect with. There's some who need to be saved. There's someone's life who's going to be changed. There's someone who's watching me come up along the rough side of the mountain, and it's going to inspire them to live for you, oh God. There's somebody in our presence on today who's going to make a decision today that I'm not going to complain, that I'm going to follow Jesus all the way, that I'm going to go and walk by faith and not by sight, that I know that the righteous, he never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging for bread. I know that when he's mounted up on the wings of an eagle, that we should walk and not be weary, that we should run and not faint, that he has tomorrow, that he's holding me in the palm of his hand, that he's keeping me alive, that if he's feeding the birds out of the air, that he's going to feed me, that he's going to provide a way of escape for me, that he has what? Plans for me to prosper me and not do me harm. That I have to remind myself that he died on the cross for my sins, that he was chastised and bruised for my iniquities, that it was because of that life that he gave, that it was his blood that was shed out on Calvary, that what now that I have the opportunity to the tree of life, that I even have the place that I can complain, that I can murmur, but even in all of it, that he has a plan, that all is in his hands, that all things are working together for the good of them that love the Lord. So he's told me that I am to stab the gift that's inside of me. So God is using this time time for some of us to stab the giftedness inside of us. That it's time for us that some of us that we'll get on our knees right now. Some of us that we'll seek Him. Some of us will pay our tithes. And some of us will pay our offerings. Some of us will come to love our family. Some of us will go back to where we're supposed to be in God. Some of us will find ourselves in the place that where I can keep filing complaints with Him and realize that my plane is going to be denied because He has a place that He desires us to be, and that is the place that He wants us to go so that we can reach and fulfill the destiny that He has in place for us, because our destiny is tied to somebody else, that where I am not in this alone, that I am my brother's keeper. Yes, I am. Because what affects my brother affects me. When there's one sick about me, when there's one hungry around me, when there's one that's struggling around me, He told me that the poor would be with me always, and that I should do what I can to help them, that what I do to the least of them is as if I did it unto Him. And do you believe that this morning? You say you read it, you say you know it, but yet you complain. I complain. You complain about it. And all we do is complain, 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 complain. Oh, my cell phone don't work. You got a cell phone. Oh, my TV. You got a TV. There's others who don't even have that. Yet we complain. Complain, complain, complain. There's a day coming where He's not going to listen to complaints no more. And here, this is our warning to me, to you, to everybody who's listening to the sound of my voice. Let's get it together. God has been good to us. It's just a temporary setback. Because when we get back together, what I believe that believers all over the world are going to be so strong. Why? Because now you're not relying on the preacher. You opening up that Bible for yourself. The Bible says, save yourself. Open up your own Bible. You got to open it up for yourself. I can teach you. I can put you in position. But until you have made a commitment within yourself, Lord, I'm going to do this thing. Lord, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, I'm going to follow your commandment. It's got to be a self thing. This is something that you got to commit to do. This is something you got to decide that you're going to do. I can't do it for you. See, I believe that God has allowed us to go through what we're going through because some of us just been relying on our preacher's faith. Some of us been relying on our mama's faith. But now it comes a place and time. You can't get the mama no more. You can't get the daddy no more. You can't get to the pastor no more. He can't answer all your phone calls. He can't come over there and lay hands on the sick. You know, the Bible said, call on the elders so they lay hands on the sick. Yes, I believe that. But he can't get to you right now. Then what? The Bible said, David said, he encouraged himself. And I'm telling you today, brother and sister, encourage yourself in the Lord so that when we get back together, when God allows us to come back together physically, that we're going to all be on fire for God. That's not going to be a thing of me coming in and having to pump you up and pry you to say, okay, this is what we need to do. That what you will come on fire for God and say, how do we continue to win the kingdom? Because I came out of my closet and I came on with my cape and I came up with my prayer cape and said, Lord, I'm ready. That I'm fired up. Lord, all I'm looking for is your generals in the gospel to give us direction. I don't know about you, but you look around. These older saints are going home. It's our generation. It's our turn now. We've been hollering. We've been complaining. When we going to get our turn? Me too. I've been complaining. When we going to get our turn? They won't move, but God is moving them now. He's calling them all home. Now the question is, are you ready? You've complained about it. You've asked for it. Now you got it. What you going to do with it? You got it. Now what you going to do with it? Are you going to barbecue a mildew? What are you going to do with it? This is what he's asking us now. Are you prepared? It's time for us to step up, y'all. And stepping up means what? Holding yourself accountable. He says like this. He said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's time for some of us to grow up. It's time for the Bible to say to grow up from milk to meat. He says, sometimes you be on the milk things of God. But some of y'all been on milk for 40 years. Come on, children of Israel. It's time to get on the meat things of God. That's time to be able to what? To stay saved for more than 5 minutes when you end up under your preacher. This is you. I know this is a hard word, but I'm a pastor, y'all. And I just want to see folks say that I want to make it. And I want them to make it too. So no, I don't sugarcoat it. This is what you get when you come to the safe house. You're going to get discipleship. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to give you everything that God has given me. And then I'm going to what? Empower you. I want you to go out there and get somebody else. I want you to exercise your faith. You know, Muslims exercise that faith they have in Ramadan right now. I got one or two Muslim friends. Yeah, how can you win them if you're not friends with them? You know, you got to know what you know, though. You got to be able to hold your own. You know, and they come, but they exercise their faith. The Jehovah Witnesses coming around knocking on your door. How many of you won't even say anything? You won't even hit a share button on Facebook half the time because you're so scared. I don't want folks to know that, but you want God to open up doors for you. You want him to supply your needs. You want him to do this and you want him to do that for you. But you want to do, he said, you'd be ashamed of me. I'd be ashamed of you. But yet we ask for all these things. And what's our part? Freedom ain't free. If you're going to be free in Christ, look, there's some things that we have to do. There's some things that he's told us to do. And he said, what? And then he said, no good thing without hope from you. He said, then I will what? Pour out the blessings. That you don't have what? Room to receive. Which means that you're going to have so much, you're going to have to give it away. And as you give it away, what happens? He brings in more. And you're going to give that away and he brings in more. This is why we often say, well, you cannot be God-given no matter how hard you try. So three things I'm going to leave you with, and I am done with you all today. Number one, I want you to know this. Know that what? Belief. That what? That you complain because you believe it's going to change something. And I'm here to remind you today, just because you're complaining about it, doesn't mean it's going to change a thing. It's not going to change a thing. We complain. With the thing, the hope that what is going to change something. And then when it doesn't change anything, then we find ourselves saying, Lord, what happened? Why did this not change? But you know what? I ask today that you decide, Lord, I'm not going to complain. Number two, that you complain, it does not transfer your frustration. If anything, you make your situation worse. It's not going to transfer your frustration. And number three, that what you're complaining is going to invoke an action, but it may not be the action that you want. The children of Israel, they complained to God and it invoked their action, but it did not get them one that they want. I thank you for your time today, brothers and sisters. I hope that there was something that was said on today that you consider your ways. Consider where you are. Consider what you're going through. Consider where you are. I ask on today that, you know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you get into a good Bible-believing church. That way, that you get baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus. Get filled with the beautiful gift of the Holy Ghost. For that Holy Ghost is what? It's the comfort. It's that comfort in the time that we're going through these things. It's the comfort. It's that keeping power. He said that not many days hence will he fill them with what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. And it's that power that you and I work in. It's that power that we exercise in. And I'm just so grateful to you all for taking this time out to worship with us on today. So as we go in there, as we wind up, I'm going to end this with a prayer. Then there's a call for offering every time for you there to give. You know, this ministry is supported by the Safe House Church. And I ask that God has laid it on your heart and this has blessed you, that we'll show you the ways that you can give there on Cash App and PayPal. Ask that this word has been a blessing to you, that you share it all along around the world, that you go out to our Facebook page, like our page, share our page, invite somebody. If you're not even in the area, invite somebody else to come. Invite somebody to connect with us. For God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord. We just want to say we thank you, Lord. I thank you for this word on today. Lord Jesus, that I won't complain. Lord Jesus, that I filed a complaint, Lord Jesus, and you said it was denied. Lord Jesus, that we don't find ourselves in a place of murmuring, Lord Jesus, that things could be worse, that things could go away in any day and time. And Lord, it could be worse than what we are, Lord. But Lord, I'm grateful that things are well as they are. Lord, I pray for our president. Lord, I ask that you touch him, Lord Jesus, give him sound decision-making, oh God. Lord, I ask that you touch all those in government. Lord, I ask that you touch our governors and our local municipalities, that you strengthen them, Lord. Touch our pastors, Lord. Touch the lay members. Lord, wherever they may be, Lord Jesus, Lord. Lord, for you say you never see the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. Lord, I ask that you help them, Lord Jesus, who are struggling, oh God, that they come to know you in a better way. Let them know you, Lord Jesus, in the mighty of your power, Lord Jesus. Let them know you in your grace. Let them know you in your mercy. And Lord, I want to say, thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name for that right now, in the name of Jesus. Those who are covered from the coronavirus, Lord, I ask that you touch Sister Tamika Henderson, our dear friend, Lord Jesus, and cousin, Lord, I ask that you bless her body, Lord Jesus. She's recovering, oh God. Let her be able to speak testimonies, Lord Jesus, to how you miraculously healed her, Lord Jesus, how you removed the infection from her lungs, oh God. And I thank you, Lord, for the rest of us, Lord Jesus, not sick, oh God, I ask that you continue to be a hedge of protection around us, Lord. Put protection around us, Lord. Strengthen us, keep us, hold us in the palm of thy hand, and we forever give your name the honor, the glory, and the power, Lord, for belongs to you and you alone. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Woo! Y'all, hallelujah, Jesus. God is so good to us. He's better to us than we've been to ourselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just so grateful. At this time, I ask if God has blessed you, if this message was a blessing to you today, that you consider giving a donation to us here at the Safe House Church. This is our ministry here that God has blessed us with. Amen. And we're just so grateful to those who are our blessing to this ministry, both financially and physically. Amen. And, you know, for God has just been so good to us, and we're just so grateful to what he's doing here. I'm going to get it up here in a second. I had to figure out what's going on here. Amen. So we ask that you consider giving to us on today. So you can give to the Safe House here, the Safe House Ministry. You can give here right here on today, that Safe House Church on Cash App. If you're so inclined to do so, amen, amen, that you can give us a little bit right there. And, you know, for God is good and he's worthy to be praised. And we ask that you just bless us today. And we're grateful for that right now. We'll leave that up for another second or two, and then we're going to pull it off and we're going to get out of here. Oh, by my spirit, I don't hear you. Anywhere. My heaven, all right, all right. So we're back. And I just want to say a thank you all to all of you all. You've been amazing, amazing people of God on today. If you ever need to reach out to us here at the Safe House Church, our phone number is 336-501-7552. Again, it's 336-501-7552. God bless you all. I ask that you, hopefully this was a tremendous blessing. I know it's a blessing to somebody. And for God is good and he's worthy to be praised. If you get an opportunity, also go out to our website. That's www.safehousechurchgso. That GSO stands for Greensboro.com. And again, that's safehousechurchgso.com. I'm so grateful. I've been your host and your online pastor today, Dr. Peter Ely, where that's the earned PhD. But God has been good to us, and I'm just so grateful to you all. So until next time, I ask that God continue to bless you all, that he continue to open up doors for you. And just know this, and know this, we know this, and we know this to be true. That way, we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen, amen. I'm just so, so grateful to him and his blessings. Hallelujah, Jesus. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Hallelujah, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I guess my closeout video does not want to work today, y'all. So I guess we just close out like this.
I give up.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the Save House Church. Hope all is well with you and yours, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I ask that you be with me real quickly as we go into a moment of prayer this morning, just thanking God for who he is and what he's done for us. You know, he's been so good to us. He's been better to us than we definitely have been to ourselves. And we just want to say we thank him for that. We just want to say we're grateful for that. We acknowledge that. Hope everybody's hearing me well. Those who are online via Facebook, if you're on Zoom, if you're on YouTube, I ask that you just go out and just give me like a thumbs up or something and let me know that I'm coming in loud and clear and that you can hear me well. Amen. Amen. I'm just so grateful. You know, I have, so like I said, I have about five or six different things going on over here, just trying to make sure we got everything running right and everybody can hear me and hear me well before we go any further. Amen. 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 I'm just so grateful to God for who he is. You know, it's he that's made us and not we ourselves. Good morning to everyone. I guess that means everybody can hear me just well. Okay. All right, let's go right into prayer.